Okay, we're going to get going here. So this series is about hope, and at this time, I mean that's such a big need. But one of the things that I think you notice as you go through a time like this, or if you've gone through grief, which most of us have, or even about with depression, is that there are sometimes that reason and words don't help. They don't get to where you are. They're good. By the way, is the screen show? Oh, you're only seeing me. Is that all you're seeing, or are you seeing the Hope and Change screen? Hang on, just
yeah.
All right. Let me just get that up and running here. Sorry. Okay. There we go. Man, that was a little bit scary there, seeing a great big huge screen with me. That's enough to frighten anybody. So words don't get you there. And if you've gone through a real serious grief, you know that. And that's what a lot of times we're experiencing right now, is that we understand the gospel, we understand our faith, we understand the reasoning that goes along with what people are doing to try to deal with this virus. And we know there's, you know, they're working on vaccines and all kinds of things, but there's just in our gut, there's just something that's actually hard to describe. And I want to kind of talk a little bit about that, because that's exactly what Peter brings to us today. In our passage in 1 Peter, he talks about things that are inexpressible or unspeakable. And that's what we really want to be thinking about. So I'm just start with the gospel. Actually start with the first verse of 1 Peter. Thank you. The first verse of 1 Peter is the gospel, and it's a blessing, and it says so much. So I'm going to be starting every lesson in this series. We talked about this verse last week. We'll start every lesson just by going through this verse. Blessed be God, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That verse, I mean, it would be great to memorize 8 verses, but really, I would ask all of us to memorize that verse this week, because that tells us the gospel, and it tells us about hope. And so, today's lesson is on the subject of inexpressible joy. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch a poll right now, and so you're going to see if you're on a computer, it might not show up on a phone, but on a computer, you'll see a poll show up. And if you can click on it, there's a choice. And the poll is for followers of Christ. Let me put it on the screen. For followers of Christ, is joy a choice, or is joy inevitable? So the first one is, joy is a choice. We are commanded to choose joy. So we are commanded to. So it's obviously a choice. Or the next one is, joy is not a choice. It's an inevitable and enduring consequence of being a follower of Christ. So please click now and make your choice. And I'll announce the results in a few minutes. But in the meantime, I want to go to another screen, actually. And so I'm going to go like this, and then I'm going to, and you can keep voting while I'm doing this. And I have a question. And you to answer the question, you'll have to unmute yourself to answer the question. But the question is, when we don't feel all that joyful, what can we do so that we are obeying the command to be joyful? When we don't feel all that joyful, what can we do so that we are obeying the command? Is everybody voting? Did everybody vote? We've got votes. We've got people viewing. Oh, good. 37 people have voted. Thank you.
37.
So in the meantime, if you can unmute and blurt out whatever you...
I got something.
Okay, go ahead.
I would say when we don't feel all that joyful, we can repent of any known sin, repent of fear, repent of not being joyful, ask God to forgive us, get into his word, do what we got to do, and understand that that truly is our destiny.
Okay. All right. Anyone
we
else?
Need to start counting our blessings. Right. Okay.
Yes. Yep. Find things to be thankful for.
Remember last week, or no, I'm sorry. It was when I did the Psalm 9, I think it was last week. That was the first thing David did as he started. It was actually the second verse of Psalm 9. He started counting, and then verse 3 and on, he started counting God's blessing, accounting for God's blessing. Anything else?
Serve others during that time.
Find serve someone. Others. Okay. So put yourself in gear, put some pep in your step, and serve others. Thank you. Any others?
We need listen to praise music.
Okay. Let's start with Becky. Go ahead, Becky.
We need to speak truth to ourselves.
Speak
God's word.
Truth to Amen. Ourselves. And who else wanted to add something?
Listen to praise music.
Listen to praise music. Wonderful. Thank you.
Be thankful.
Bert. It's just the sticky sweetness. I don't even care about
in the wonderful words of Bernie, get over yourself.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Our Bernie-isms.
I have a short story, if I might.
Sure, of course.
So I was having a really bad day on the road not long ago and just not joyful at all. And I'm driving down 96, and on the side of the road, there's a church there, and they have a sign up, and all it said was, choose joy. And I thought, well, if the Lord can put that message up on that board for me, you know, in all of the words they could have put up there, and all the at the time, you know, that's God. That's a recognition of that God cares about me even when I'm not having a joyful day. And so
Amen.
I chose joy.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right.
Hey, just reaching out to others and not just being self-absorbed in yourself.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. Anyone else?
Yeah, when we're having troubles with our attitudes, sometimes that's a signal to take it to God in prayer. Pray.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Well, that's good. I'm actually going to just take a second here and capture this so that I can come back to it. And then I'm going to go back to the presentation to just take a second.
Hey, Bert, can I throw something on the pile there?
Of course.
So for me personally, and that's what you're asking for, is our personal perspectives. A lot of times when joy is not present, I really have to turn myself to focus on the fact that I am not alone. And depression tends to sneak in those instances when God is with us all the time. That's
excellent. Thank you. All right. Oh, I know. There we go. Okay. Now we do that. So, in the world of psychiatry and psychology and counseling, people that are involved in that area know that there are common symptoms of depression, or what's known as major depressive disorder, and grief. Some common symptoms are an intense sadness, insomnia, dysfunctional eating, whether either losing a lot of weight or gaining a lot of weight, suicidal ideation, thinking about suicide, And then one of the things that's common, it's difficult to talk about, and that's kind of what we're thinking mostly about today, that it's difficult to put into words, it's difficult to actually go ahead and speak about. And so I also wanted to notice that there are a lot of common risks of suicide that we're facing today. Loss of loved ones, including death, and death being threatened because somebody might be found positive. In addition to just the usual ones like divorce and so on, loss of health and severe pain is a common factor. In fact, unfortunately, there are folks that are involved in frontline work with this virus, and they themselves are becoming positive, and they themselves can be faced with the same kinds of suicidal ideation and everything else. In fact, you may have been familiar with Daniela Trezzi, a nurse in Italy who committed suicide immediately after she found she was positive, you know, in part because she didn't want to pass it on. But then, you know, obviously it's hard to be necessarily fully rational and think about, well, there's options and there's all of that. But that's loss of health and severe pain is certainly a factor. Loss of a job, and worst of all, is loss of a job in an economic recession. And there's been a lot of literature on that. You know, scholars have studied suicide in the connection with unemployment, and it's just very, very shocking. And then isolation. Suicidal thoughts and behaviors connected with isolation. One study recently concluded that the main social constructs associated with suicidal outcomes were marital status, being single, separated, divorced, or widowed, and living alone, social isolation, loneliness, alienation, and belongingness. And so that's, I mean, we have a perfect storm right now for that kind of a shock, and there are already indications that suicides are spiking, and some have even wondered whether there'd be more deaths from suicides in the wake of COVID-19 than from COVID-19. That's in North America. In North America, we have homes that are, a lot of us are in homes that are not stacked on top of one another. And in fact, in India, you had high rises, and then, you know, next to it was a high rise. These are apartments of 400 square feet for a family. And there's one next to it, and you could reach out and put your hand in the window of the one next to you. And there's a whole wall of that building next to you. The density of population is just amazing. And the thing that you know, we should know about the rest of the world is they don't have the $2 trillion whatever and unemployment benefits and everything else. I was talking this week to one of our members who is in my member care group. And her brother is a missionary and pastor in Poland. And in Poland, they don't have unemployment benefits. And in Poland, they don't have relief for small businesses that are affected by this. So the small businesses, the grocery stores, the bakeries, everything else, they're not closing up for the idea of coming back in a couple months. They're just going out of business, and they're saying, we're done. We're, you know, they're taking all their groceries home to themselves, and that's it. And so this pastor missionary in Poland is dealing with suicides both in the community but in the church itself. And so that's kind of, you know, how bad it is. And we think we have it bad. It's of course worse elsewhere. So if you take the perfect storm and you match it up with the common symptoms of depression and grief, you really wind up with this whole notion of it's difficult it's difficult to talk about it or explain it. It's difficult to really help people who are really struggling, and part of it is just difficult for them to talk about. I want to flip the coin over and say that the same thing is true with joy and love. You know, the card rack in the store, whenever you get to go back to the store, the card racks go for aisles and aisles and aisles of Hallmark cards and other cards. Why? Because people who want to express love have a difficult time expressing it. And so in love, deep love, there are a lot of things we do that are inexpressible. We accept the other person's flaws. We want to share everything with them. We want to share our secrets with them. We feel a sense of protection over them, and we want to be honest with them. And it's difficult to actually explain that, because in part it's not necessarily totally rational, but so it's hard to explain that. Well, the language of love is what is woven through First Peter. And so starting with the verses that we're going to talk about, verses 3 to 9 today. And by the way, those are 7 verses worth memorizing. You'll see that as we go through it today. I encourage people to take on some memory work, especially if you have some time right now. And this passage, 1 Peter 3-9, is made for it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Those are the first 4 words of the next verse, verse 6. And so that's expressible. In other words, you can go back through verses 3 through 5, and you can talk about every one of those things. You could talk about the living hope, about the inheritance, about the faith being guarded. Every one of those things you could talk about, those are expressible, and we ought to express them. We ought to express them, as some of you have said, to ourselves, but we need to be able to express that to others as well. This week in our discussions, and thank you, Ziola and Mike and Joyce and Amy and Heather and those who participated in the discussion this week. And I think it was Heather who included a post in the discussion. This is on Cornerstone Connect on the thread from this lesson, from the lesson. And Heather posted a passage from John 16. And John 16 is a verses 20 to 24 is a great way to express joy in Jesus' words. In fact, if you go back to John 15, he said in 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And then you go to chapter 16. And Jesus says, "I will say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." And then he talks about a woman giving birth and her joy. And he says, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." That's expressible. It's speakable. We are called upon to speak it. And we can do that. As I said, we can go back through 3 to 5. Great mercy, new birth, undefiled inheritance, eternal security, that it's temporary. That's all. That those are things that we can speak, that we can rejoice. But then Peter in verse 6 goes on. He says, "In this you can rejoice." So we go back to the previous verses. But he says, "Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, there's a couple of words there that you and I might want to just pass over. It's like, if necessary. Yeah, if necessary, you know, well, you know, should I take the garbage out? Yeah, if necessary, if it's full, take it out. No, that's not what if necessary is in God's economy. Because in God's economy, if necessary means if God wills it. because God is sovereign. So we rejoice, even though there are various trials, if necessary, God wills it. God is sovereign, and God decides if it's necessary. And there are many reasons, and you've studied this, and we can all study this, about why does God allow for trials? And people are asking that today. And there's lots of reasons, and that's a great Bible study, turning us away from sin. Actually, there are a lot of people who have been turned away from sin in the midst of this COVID-19. In fact, some have even in major news outlets and media have asked, is this starting to look like a great awakening, which is just amazing, but turning away from sin, protecting us from sin, allowing us to be, if you will, distracted and protected and focused so that we're not focused on sin. Hebrews talks about, the writer of Hebrews talks about a harvest of righteousness that comes out of trials that God wills, and equipping us for ministry. And so we have this notion of some joy is speakable, it's expressible, we can explain it, even though there are trials. But then, and now we're ready for the heart of the lesson, this is what Peter has to say in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. King James, unspeakable. You rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. As we grow, as we are sanctified by God, as we grow and we grow in love and in faith, we rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. It's part of the growing experience. It's a part of the resting in Christ experience. It's part of the contentment that we find in our relationship with Jesus Christ by faith through grace. There's a joy that is inexpressible, and it tells us about our faith. It informs us about our faith. And so it is unspeakable and inexpressible. The Greek that is used there, anekletos, Pastor Keith could help me pronounce that. Strong's word, G412, is literally unable to be told. I cannot be told. In other words, you can't tell me and I can't tell you exactly what it means to have that joy. I can talk around it. I can try to describe it, but words are inadequate. Have you ever have you ever found yourself saying that? Words just are not inadequate. And that's the word that Peter uses here when he talks about that joy. It's a similar sense of Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. In other words, I can't really unpack it for you rationally and reasonably, but that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So unspeakable joy. I like the way Jonathan Edwards tried to articulate or define this in his, he actually spent 14,000 words, an entire part of his book on religious affections, 14,000 words on this verse, 1 Peter 1:8. But he says unspeakable in the kind of it, in other words, in the essence of it, very different from worldly joys and carnal delights, of a vastly more pure, sublime, and heavenly nature, being something supernatural and truly divine, and so ineffably excellent, the sublimity and exquisite sweetness of which there were no words to set forth. That's the inexpressible joy that Peter is talking about, and that's what you were talking about when you were talking about joy, what to do about joy. Joy is connected to my love and my belief, and so that's the inexpressible joy. An expressible joy is connected to my love and my belief. Actually, I want to go back to that. I want to show you that. Notice that the joy that is inexpressible emerges from love and faith. Though you have not seen him, you love him. though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. So it's connected to, it kind of emerges from love and faith, so that when I attend to my love for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, without even realizing it, I'm attending to my joy. And when I attend to my faith, I'm attending to my joy. And so how do you attend to your joy? Well, looking back at what you said, how do I attend to my joy? Repent of known sin and fear. Get into the Word. Count blessings. Serve others. Reach out to others. Speak truth to others. Listen to praise music. Get over yourself, Bernieism. Choose joy, the sign of the highway. Take it to God in prayer. What are we talking about? We're attending to our faith. We're attending to our relationship with Christ. And along with that, we are attending to our joy. And that's what we want to be alert to. Yes, we want to be in the Word. We want to understand verses 3-5. We want to understand the reason, and this you rejoice, the reason for our joy. We also want to attend to that aspect of our joy that is unspeakable. It's inexpressible, and we can do that by attending to our love and our faith. And that's really the, if you will, the punchline. So attending to my inexpressible joy is connected to my love and my belief. It is impacted by sin, Psalm 51:13. It is nourished by the Word, and the entire Psalm 119 is an encomium, an ode, a prayer, a song, a hymn of praise to God, to God's Word. And the joy strengthens us and sustains us, and it is hard to explain. So this week, this week's discussion on the Cornerstone Connect, and you've probably already seen it in your email. I've already posted it, so I encourage you to go on, is in addition to attending to inexpressible joy by attending to our faith and our love, in addition to that, how can we demonstrate or give evidence of that inexpressible or unspeakable joy during the current crisis? And it's not the reasoning part. Yes, we need to be able to bring God's Word and bring God's gospel. Absolutely. But there's also some nonverbals, and there's also just some attitudinal kinds of calmness and peace and contentedness, despite all of that's going on around us. And that's what I'd like to challenge us to be thinking about, is how can we encourage each other with stories, with encounters, with examples, with ideas, with praises. Thank you for the hymn that Zeola posted for last week, hymns, insights, thoughts, Bible verses. What we want to be thinking about this week, as in a discussion, this lesson should go all week, and in a discussion. The discussion would be for us to be telling each other how we can demonstrate. And you can also do that in the Koinonia Facebook group. And you don't have to respond to the post, which I don't think I've posted yet, but you don't have to respond. Just post something on Facebook along these lines. And let that be our conversation for this week. So here's a review of what we've said. Some things are hard to explain and even irrational. And on the one side of the coin, it's the deep loneliness. There are people right now in this participation, in this ABF right now, on the phone, on their computer right now, who are going through this kind of valley, deep loneliness, hopelessness, grief, despair. And you know that it is hard for, you could try to explain it, but you know you can't explain it well enough that anybody else really gets it. That's the inexpressible aspect of a loneliness and a sense of despair that just sometimes wants to find its way into our lives. This lesson, this Word of God, this First Peter lesson wants us to flip the coin and focus on the kind of love and joy that we've known in our past with loved ones, the deep love, the language of love we have a hard time finding, that there's no words. And it's an invitation to engage ourselves in faith and love of Christ and allow that to be the boat that lifts us up, or the ladder that lets us climb out of the valley, and to let that happen. We don't want to ignore verses 3 to 5 and the rejoicing that can be explained. That's a good start. We can go back to verses 3 to 5 and remind ourselves of the living hope, the inheritance, the sustenance, the guarding of our faith. We need to go back through verses 3 to 5. But we can also camp out in verses 8 and 9. We can attend to our joy. We can set our hearts on that joy. So that's my sort of challenge in this You Rejoice, and all of the things that we talked about, the living hope, the resurrection. In this You Rejoice, though now for a little while, even though you're in trials, but there is an inexpressible joy. And it comes from reminding ourselves, allowing the Holy Spirit to really bring back to life our sense of God, our sense of Christ, our sense of gratitude for salvation, our sense of gratitude for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our love for Christ, and our faith. And so, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Enjoying, literally enjoying, in the Westminster Shorter Confession, it says, what's the purpose of life? To love God and what? Enjoy him forever.
Enjoy him.
Starts today. Enjoy him forever. That starts today. So do that, but then spread the good word. How can we help others see that joy, understand that joy, want that joy? We want people to ask. First Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give in a hope to give an account of your hope for those who ask. Are people asking? Well, maybe we're not reaching out enough to be in contact with people. We have to take the initiative to do that. We have to come. There are some ABFs that have said, call 5 people every day. We need to reach out. And when we reach out, we want to pray, Lord, just let my joy just exude, let's emit, let it go through the phone line, let it go through the internet, and let people catch the idea of what that joy is, because I can't always describe it. It's inexpressible. It's unspeakable. And that's what we have. So for next time, reread First Peter chapter 1. Read the whole chapter. If you can do some memory work, memorize verses 3 to 9. I mean, you will be so blessed. And I'm going to be working on it too. Memorize verses 3 to 9, and then camp out a little bit on verses 10 to 12. We will look at 10 to 12 next week. Meanwhile, participate in the ongoing thread on Cornerstone Connection. Hop onto the Facebook group and join the discussion there. We need to hear from each other. And so let me just close in prayer, and then, Mike, I'll turn it back over to you. Father God in heaven, we have so much to rejoice for, the living hope, the resurrection, the gospel. We have so much to grab onto. We have your whole word. We have 1 Peter 3. We have all that you've blessed us with, and as Mike prayed earlier, that we get to enjoy even in these times. So much to be joyful about. But we also, Lord, are commanded to have joy, and we want to be obedient to that. We want to attend to the joy of our very soul in the depths of our very heart. So, Holy Spirit, bring it on. Bring on the joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Bert, thank you so much for an awesome lesson. That was really, really good. Seriously. Also, next week, just for some housekeeping stuff here, I'll ask Bert to either send out the video information on Saturday, or I'll send it out on Saturday, because a number of us couldn't find the email and forgot stuff and all that. So my ask of you guys is next Saturday, be sure that you look for your video information and get it lined up and ready to go so you're familiar with it on Saturday, so that on Sunday morning we're good to go at 9:30. Okay.
Okay. And Mike, can I add a couple things real quick?
Sure.
The sign up for next week's Zoom is exactly the same as this week. Yes, check your email on Saturday. But once you've registered, the sign up is exactly the same. Just punch in the same 9 digits for the meeting code and you're good to go. And then there was something else. The other thing is, we will start the meeting on Zoom by like 8:45, between 8:45 and 9. Mm-hmm. So somebody mentioned it's nice to just visit. We'll have some visiting time between about 8:45 and roughly 9:20 when we kind of start getting quieting down and letting Mike get us organized. So we'll open it up, the meeting room, at 8:45 or so. So when you want to start visiting, bring your bowl of cereal, Kathy, and have breakfast. We'll have breakfast together. Kathy, you started it. Let's all do that. Let's have breakfast together at 8:45 next Sunday. So thank you, Mike.